The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com. Vodka.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Monday afternoon edition of the show. Beautiful day outside here in Knoxville. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for jumping on with us as we get things rolling here on this beautiful Monday. Gentlemen, Bear, Brandon. Not sure where has Rick already left to do the thing?
Yeah, he's going to.
We're not starting the other thing, the Periscope. Is that going?
Is it?
I don't think so. All right, whatever. Rick has just neglected. Reek. It's best not to keep secrets from me, Reek.
In Reek's defense, Russ.
Yeah.
He is going on a mission for you.
He is. He's a good boy.
But he's still Reek.
Everybody have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, better.
Not good? Bad Easter?
No, I'm extremely.
You don't like holidays?
I don't like holidays, but the news about Reggie Cobb.
Yeah.
I got that, I guess, what was that, Saturday afternoon?
Yep.
I saw a tweet from longtime friend of the show, Aaron Hayden. Ah. And it is really
that's got to hit those guys. Those running backs have like a brotherhood, man, because it's such a physical, rough position. They get hurt so much more than anybody else because they get tackled all the time. Like, that's got to hurt because he's kind of, you know, I mean, he wasn't the first great running back we've had here, but he was the first of a long line of.
Johnny Jones was probably the first of the premier talent, and then. We had an 85. We got him for 1 year. And really, he played a little bit that year, the guy from William & Mary, Jeff Powell. But Reggie was like, and for people that are too young and don't remember, it was a big deal when Reggie stayed home to play for UT. I think a lot of people, because his playing career was so short, and it was, you know, so long ago now, people – you really need to go back and watch some of his game highlights. He was one of the first. He was incredibly big to move. He was very light-footed and incredibly fast. And he was just a super nice guy. But it really, really laid me low this weekend because, I mean, he's a year older than me, grew up here in Knoxville.
Well, it's weird, too, because there were two big VFL deaths this past weekend, and the other one was a guy that we knew, Matt McLaughlin, who's he's younger than me. Matt played in like the early 2000s as a defensive lineman here, and boy, you talk about a character. He's a really interesting
wild man.
Interesting Love dude. It. And he actually worked with Volunteer Pharmacy for a while, so he was working with the Frost family and Fred White and some of the other folks that were over there at the time, got to know him a little bit. I mean, that was shocking in and of itself. And then, Saturday I saw some folks tweeting about Reggie Cobb, and I thought it was just like they were tweeting about Reggie Cobb because he's a good player. And, like, I saw some runs and everything. And then it wasn't until, like, later that night, I think, that I realized I saw somebody tweeting that he had passed on. Because it's like you don't even think – the guy's only 50 years old. It's like
I mean, I saw the picture of him in the SI article. I mean, he looks better than all of us. You just, I guess, file it under, you never know the hour of the day. But
golly, man.
I hate that his career ended the way it did. I really wish I hope, you know, my hope is that he realized how much he was still beloved by this fan base. He was one of the key, like, foundation blocks of our rise to prominence in the 90s. I mean, he was a big-time recruit, big time. Not as ballyhooed as, what's his name?
Leroy Thompson.
Leroy. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, Reggie was just as good, if not better, in a different kind of way. So, just really sad. So, prayers out to his family.
Yeah, he was the first Tennessee football star that I remember, because I went to my first game in 1987. They were playing Georgia Tech, and I don't remember much about the experience other than being with my dad and sitting up in the nosebleeds. But I don't remember hardly anything about the game, except for there was one part where, you know, you're way up high in the south end zone and the play opens up. I'm 7 years old. I don't know what, you know, blocking and tackling even is. I don't even know how many people are on the field. Like, I'm in awe of all the sights and sounds and smells. But I do remember, like, at one point the play opening up and here comes number 34 roaring down the sideline and everybody's standing up, you know, and
yeah, if he was hooting even, and he hollering.
That's kind of when I fell in love with Tennessee football. It was 1987, and Reggie Cobb and Jeff Francis, and Reggie had a huge game in the Peach Bowl against Indiana that year. 1988 was not a great season, did not go the way they had hoped. And then 1989, young man by the name of Chuck Webb shows up on campus, and all of a sudden we had probably the best 1-2 running back punch Tennessee's probably ever had, and Chuck Webb and Reggie Cobb, they called it the Cobweb. And
you think that was the two best?
Jamal and Travis Henry were pretty good.
Stevens. They're like 1 and 1A. I don't know. I mean,
we only got Reggie, half a season of it was the thing.
Yeah.
So
in the week of the Alabama game and just the whole way that went down. And then
I don't even remember what happened, man. I know he got kicked off the team. I don't remember why.
It's always been kind of, you know, rumored. I don't think anybody's ever came right out and said, you know, supposedly it was for, you know, he flunked a test. Nobody ever said what it was. But I always regretted, I think Tennessee made a mistake in the way they handled it, you know, but it's easy to look back 30 years on.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I do also remember getting to meet him once because a classmate of mine father worked in the athletics department, and I remember going over to their house and they had a couple of football players over and Reggie was there, and it was like, you know, the first experience of meeting a star athlete, like somebody that you saw on TV, and you're
how
like,
how old were you?
Seven or eight years old.
He's like ginormous.
Yeah, but it was one of the first experiences of like meeting a famous person and be like, oh, wait, he's actually a real person. He's sitting right in front of me. Look, he's got hands and feet just like me, you know, like flesh and blood. I remember that because, like, it was him, Preston Warren, Thomas T.D. Woods, and maybe one or two other players.
That's some serious speed right there.
And they were, like, they were sitting – because it was on a Sunday, so they're sitting on a couch watching football. It's like, wow, there's Reggie Cobb watching a football game. How about that?
That's pretty good. You get to meet all three of those. You were in –
yeah, elite, man. It was
amongst the elite.
It was pretty cool. So I know Central High School Bobcat, friends and family, I'm sure, in the area. So just our thoughts and prayers, condolences with his people, man. It is a good one, no doubt about it. And had a lot of good ones back there, but boy, Reggie Cobb could play with the best of them. How long he played in the NFL? Because I remember he played
7 years.
With the Bucks for a long time, when the Bucks were terrible,
he took a beating,
but he had good games
too. If he had gone to a different team, it might have
Well, he had a great career.
But I'm saying if you put him during that period of time, like you put him on the 49ers or, you know, the Cowboys or something.
Play with the Buccaneers from 90 to 93, the Pack in 94, because I remember he went to both bays. The Jags in 95 and the New York Jets in 1996.
Journeyman running back.
So.
Apparently been scouting for the – I knew he was – in the NFL still. I couldn't remember which team, but
had a 1,000-yard rushing season in 92 with the Bucks. Ran for 3,700 yards in his
that'd have been 1,500 on any other team. That team was garbage. That was at the end of the creamsicle era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whew.
They had to bring those back, man.
That ought to be their throwback.
Nice looking unis.
I always thought it was the Tennessee of the NFL when I was a little kid.
Well, that's what they modeled it after. That's what the owner of the Bucks wanted. He wanted it to look like Tennessee. Yeah, that was his.
It's the only other orange. It's the same as ours. But yeah.
All right.
So, but anyhow, other than that, love the weather outside. It's fantastic.
Happy Easter! Easter. Anybody? Easter Bunny come to you guys? No.
Just
our house. No. Easter Bunny came. We had the rare double Easter Bunny / Tooth Fairy appearance at Stately Smith Manor.
Wow.
Last night. Yeah. The rare double. It makes you wonder, did they run into each other?
What's Easter or what's a tooth fairy dropping these days per tooth?
Buck a tooth is kind of the standard.
Really?
Standard fare. Yeah. It's pretty good.
The miser over here.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Tooth fairy's cheap over at Smith's house.
Really?
A tooth?
Yeah. I mean, is that
what's the tooth fairy in your neck of the woods?
He's dropping a fiver.
For a tooth?
Tooth's kind of pretty big deal.
Back in my day, it was always a dollar.
Really? Yeah. I don't remember what it was back in my day. But we had
Spoon Gulch up there, and I mean, I don't know what to say to you. You're living in the 50s, bro.
No, we had the rare double yesterday over at Stately Smith Manor. So, all right, let's get things rolling here this afternoon on the show. Open up the phone lines here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Let's see what else we got going on here this afternoon. More Rick Barnes, UCLA intrigue.
Really?
Keep pulling back layers of the onion.
You got fresh information for us?
We have a new development. We have a new development. We'll share that with you coming up next right here on The Drive.
Good.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Shout out to the Baseball Falls. I'm good. Tony Vitello and the boys breaking out the broomsticks in Lexington. Those toothless, slack-jawed yokels sending them home from their brand-new baseball stadium all disappointed. Nothing works in this.
I'll tell you what, while Russell takes 10 deep breaths, like a grown-up, get a hold of yourself, man.
The headphones don't work,
man. I'll tell you what.
Sitting here fiddling with it for 5 minutes.
You can say what you want about everything else, but one thing is right in Tennessee's world. We are slapping Kentucky around in every sport that matters.
How about that? Get some of that.
I mean, you thought it was bad with Ricky Barnes and the boys taking 2 out of 3 in the regular season from you and knocking you out of the SEC tournament. Jeremy Pruitt beat one of the best teams you've ever had with one of our most garbage teams, and then
best team they've ever had in the modern era, probably ever will have, and maybe one of the worst teams we've ever had. Second worst team we've probably had in the modern era. And Jeremy Pruitt still bent them over the barrel and showed them the 50 states.
He made him say mercy. He did. They had to ask him to call the dog.
I mean, that game on Friday.
He knocked about 3 of them out.
The game on Friday, what was the final score on that one like?
16-0 It was like a football score. Maybe 16, I don't know.
Well, and then didn't they have a bunch of dudes like run out? I think that was after the first game Thursday, because Westchester called about it, and I didn't know what he was talking about. Like, evidently, like, we had a little celebration on the field after we won game one, and like their dudes, just like a like you would expect a bunch of Kentucky players, run out and try and act all fake tough guy, like they were all mad that we were celebrating or something, started sticking their chest out, you know. And didn't do anything. They just wanted to run out and voice their displeasure.
Well, they're gonna run out there and get, you know, get their asses kicked.
And then
on the SEC network.
They were so mad. They were so offended, clutching their pearls over our little celebration, that they went out and got beat about 16-0 the next game.
They showed us way to show up and protect your house.
And then
we walked a damn dog on him Friday.
Tony Vitello brought out the broomsticks on Sunday and swept Saturday. Those meat sticks, whatever. Swept those meat sticks.
You know what they should have done? Coach your team, meat stick.
Now, Kentucky is the worst team in the SEC. So before
I thought they were good.
No.
Were they good a couple of years ago?
They were.
Okay.
They've been up and down. They're down right now. So before we start punching our tickets to Omaha.
Well, nobody's doing that. I'm just saying it's good. That's the first sweep we've had since what?
It's been a minute. It feels good, though. And
at an away sweep? I bet Rusty Ennis will know the answer to that.
Speaking of which, the former baseball ball and SEC Network color analyst will join us in hour number three to talk a little Tennessee baseball. Tennessee on a bit of a roll here, so that is good to see.
That's good for Rusty, because, you know, I mean, we talk about Tim Priest a lot. Rusty Ennis has had to suffer through some pretty damn bad baseball.
Yeah.
He ain't living large like Bird is right now.
Rusty became a regular Drive contributor Serrano's first year. Is when I met Rusty. He started coming on the show regularly back then. And back then it was like, the disappointment of the Todd Raleigh mistake, error, whatever you want to call it, is behind us. This Serrano guy's going to fix it. He was here during the glory days. He's a pitching guru. He's been to two College World Series out west. Like, this guy is born to be the Vols baseball coach. So, like, the first – but we also knew that he was taking over a program that had bottomed out. It's going to take 2 years, Rusty said, two years rebuilding. He's like, okay. Like, we'll get on board. And 5 years later, it's like, oh, my God. Just
we didn't even get mad at him. He came. I mean, disaster. The only person that Tennessee has ever hired that was, at that point, not Captain Barnes, that was had credentials anywhere near Serrano's was Majors, because he had a natty. So, I mean, how could he miss? I never really got mad. I was just always bamboozled by why it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I guess mainly just because he came in the SEC and tried to play small ball at a time where.
But we're winning playing small ball now. Like the Friday
we've got
night
some
score
ferocious not with, pitching going on right now, too.
I mean, the Friday score notwithstanding, like we're not putting up a ton of runs, generally speaking, here. So, I mean, it would be so cool. We've been talking about it forever. If baseball became a thing. Brandon, you're probably too young to remember, but like we've been to three College World Series here within the span of about 10 years from 95 to 2005.
Let me tell you something. It was fun.
And every time it happens, it's like we don't follow throughout the regular season, but you get to postseason and this town catches a little baseball fever and
my
the games are televised.
Was it 2001 or 2000?
One of those years. I think it was 01.
That was my favorite one out of the three.
Yeah, it was. There were a lot
of
fun
kids on that team.
There were a lot of fun. So hopefully we found the right guy to bring us back. That's one of the things I want to ask Rusty is like, okay, we're kind of manufacturing. It feels like we might be doing it with smoke and mirrors. Maybe we have one or two good pitchers this year. But Tony Vitello made his bones as a big recruiting guy at Missouri and Arkansas. So that should start to be paying off now, right? Like we should start seeing more players come through here. Like what's the next step in this evolution that we're watching with Tennessee baseball in terms of becoming a big time program?
What do you think about him being kind of at the vanguard of just calling the NCAA out? on
that was interesting.
Players are getting half. That's absolutely asinine. When you really stop and think, it's got me completely triggered today.
Well, it's not a revenue sport.
What?
You of all people should
fiscally responsible bear should realize that.
Yeah, no. We're not talking about million dollar. We're talking about giving kids athletic scholarships. You've never heard me say anything about, you know, are the Lady Vols on half scholarships? Softball and pretty much everybody outside of men's basketball and football? Is that an across the board thing? Or is it just baseball and softball?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'd have to look at that.
I believe the Lady Vol basketball players are on straight scholarships across the board. I'm not sure how it works in softball.
I mean, part of me thinks that the NCAA ought to come up with some kind of system where they do a little bit of giving the university subsidize for the non-revenue generating sports if you're going to do that, so that those kids get full ride scholarships. I mean, they could take it out of the however many gajillion billion dollars they make off the NCAA tournament every year, the men's tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting into Title IX issues, I would imagine.
I said across the board, Russell.
My thing is, like, I think they should just, and I know that this probably gets into federal legislation and all that stuff that's way above my pay grade, but I've always thought, okay, it's good to have equality in terms of scholarships available and everything, but I think you have to take football out of it. Because it's just such a unique sport, and there are so many scholarships because you have to have that because it's such a brutal sport, and women don't play it, generally speaking. They can, but there are differences between the sexes, and men are more men are just built for football, women are not. It shouldn't be a controversial statement. Some people think it is. It isn't. I think you should just take football out to the side, and then, you know, basketball, both men's and women's get 13 scholarships. Baseball, softball, both get 20 scholarships. Swimming and diving, track and field. Like, from there on, like, everything should be equal.
I don't understand why, you know, between the basketball, men's and women's, and the men's football team at universities all across the country, it's like an arms race right now. As far as there's no check too big to write. But I had no idea. He's only got two assistant coaches for an entire college, but SEC college baseball team, that's the limit?
Two paid assistants, yeah. He's got some volunteers who work with him. That's kind of like what Todd Helton was doing.
Well, that's kind of stupid. I'm not saying you have to pay him a gajillion dollars, but damn.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you could go ahead and have one more assistant coach.
At least one more.
But, I mean, it's there's not a – there's not a ton of money in college baseball. It doesn't seem to be a priority either with NCAA administrators or campus administrators. I don't get the feeling that it's high up to do on Philip Fulmer's to-do list.
They aren't going to want to peel any money away from what they're pocketing. I'm talking about the NCAA level.
But it's weird for folks who don't know what we're talking about. What's the college baseball
gets the total number.
It's like 11.6 or 13.2 scholarships for a 25-man roster. And so the coach has to decide how he's going to allocate that. So I think you might have one or two, maybe three players that are on full-ride scholarships, but the rest are divvied up. You'll have, you know, some starters who are on like half scholarships, quarter scholarships, you know, three,
but you
four.
Remember Helton was on football.
Yeah.
Helton was on football scholarship, and that helped that team out because then –
that's one way to do
he
it.
He didn't take up a scholarship in baseball.
So
it's
– and Tony Vitello ranted about this after one of the games or after a practice last week, I think. It was pretty interesting. We'll try and find that audio for you because he was fairly impassioned.
He's
a fired
animated,
up about it.
Animated guy, isn't he?
Yep, he is.
He got my attention.
We got to take another quick break right here. We will come back and get into this Rick Barnes stuff. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865 865- 866-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Russell, Rick, and Bear. Brandon Orrick will greet you as you call in, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Reading a piece on The Athletic today by Seth Davis about Mick Cronin getting settled in out there at UCLA.
Seth Davis, is he on the list?
He is on the list.
Top five or?
Meh. Top 10.
Okay. What's Sethy have to say?
Well, keep in mind, this is not about Tennessee or Rick Barnes or anything. This is about UCLA. It's about Mick Cronin getting settled in. He wasn't their first choice, but he's happy to be there. They're happy to have him, blah, blah, blah. But during the course of the article, they bring up the fact that Rick Barnes was part of their search. And as they put it, Rick Barnes reached out to UCLA first. That's according to Seth Davis in,
oh boy,
in The Athletic.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Not going to get angry, Russ. Not going to get angry. Not today. It's pretty. Beautiful outside. You're not going to get me angry.
UCLA then set its sights on Tennessee's Rick Barnes, Seth Davis writes, who had reached out to the school to express his interest. Those conversations went well enough that UCLA thought Barnes could be introduced at a press conference on April 9th, the day after the national championship game. On the day before that game, Evan Daniels of 247 Sports broke the news of those discussions. This time, the snag was a $5 million buyout. After securing a better deal at Tennessee, Barnes decided to stay put. Asked at a news conference last week what would have happened had UCLA been willing to cover the buyout, Barnes replied, quote, "I think I would have been the coach at UCLA."
That would explain why UCLA did not contact Philip Fulmer for permission.
Ah!
The plot thickens,
I didn't even think
Russ.
About that, Brandon.
The plot has thickened.
I think Rick Barnes, like, are we buying this? Do you think old Slick Rick?
You watch your step, I'll tell you that.
Do you think he picked up the phone?
Watch his damn step.
I mean,
did you see the video they put out the other day?
I don't want to see any damn videos, dude.
Who?
Rick Barnes going around to all the businesses that.
Yeah.
You see the video? Yeah.
I didn't see the whole video, but I saw that he put something, like he was out at Stock and Barrel, a couple other places.
Yeah.
Coach your team, meat stick.
Oh.
Okay. I don't want to get mad.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I won't see any damn videos, though, Rick.
I mean, he knows everybody's been coaching, been a big-time coach in college basketball for 30 years now, knows everybody everywhere. I'm sure he knows people at UCLA. Do you think, are we buying this, that Rick Barnes reached out first to UCLA? That's the first question.
Could it be sour grapes on UCLA and them trying to get some get back on Rick? Knowing how some of the Tennessee fan base is a little bit of hair triggered. Not me and you, of course.
Well, I mean, it could be sour grapes that they're leaking that particular piece of information out. I don't think they would make it up. I mean, that seems outside the bounds of normal.
I mean, even though this part, I mean, it's a beautiful Seth Davis move. Dunk on us.
Could Seth being on the list complicates things.
Yeah, it does.
Could this just all been part of Rick Barnes's master plan to get a huge raise at Tennessee? Pick up the phone, call him. He's friends with John Calipari, who had used them to get a lifetime contract at Kentucky.
Did Cal call?
Get everything
here.
You want? Did Rick Barnes call? Did he just play UCLA and Tennessee like a fit?
He's like, hey, Rick, look, you need to get paid. Just do it
here. First of all, if that's the case, if he did that and he never had any intention of leaving, he's always going to be at the end of the day I don't really have a problem with that because so it doesn't matter to me that badly, and it's not taking anything away from football. For our head coach is happy, assistants are happy, we should be a stronger program.
But
if Rick Barnes, because he's legitimately interested in leaving, and that was something that I'm not saying go on again. No, okay. Absolutely not. But I would be willing to say basically what Paul Feinbaum took heat for saying yesterday, which last week, is it makes me think that there are some problems.
Oh, what the hell was Feinbaum talking about? Why does he like taking shots at his alma mater?
Do I have to? It's been a while, so I have to go through the full list for you.
Might have to numb.
After the great season that we just had and that we've got going for us with the facilities and the conference, and, you know, he's well paid, his assistant, that, you'd pick up the phone and he was legitimately going into UCLA, which I know the history. You heard the horror stories about Steve Alford having to travel class to on recruiting trips and stuff like that. If that legitimately logical to conclude that then there would be problems at Tennessee that he was trying to get away from.
Honest, then he was playing him. And Rick Barnes is a hell of a lot better. He wanted all the – I guarantee you think he – like, part of me wonders if he wanted, like, all the use of a private jet whenever you want to go see your grandkids down in Texas.
When the news first broke, all the stuff that we know now, and we were just wondering, is he going to stay, is he going to go, man? Rick Barnes has hand. Right now, to borrow a Seinfeld phrase, he's got not ever have this type of leverage again. Go ahead and use it and get what you need for yourself, for your assistants, for your program. So the Tennessee fan perspective, that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Is that he never really wanted to leave, and the leverage he had immediately coming off the season they're coming off of to extract. But... and we might never know about UCLA and all the problems that they've had there for really going on Knoxville and go take on that challenge at this late stage in his career. I hope it's scenario number one.
I'm going to have to go with scenario number
one. Scenario number one, so I will. I'm choosing not to believe
you,
scenario number
one. You don't want to consider that him – legitimately wanted to leave. He should have just left, man, because the money's about the same.
I agree. I don't.
Back to go and get.
I don't think.
No.
I don't think he truly wanted to do that.
Interesting. Your thoughts. 865-200. Does it change your feelings towards Rick Barnes at all if CLA 2 weeks ago, as was written by Seth Davis, who is list?
Hit me.
Here's where the list stands as of today.
Just in order?
Nope.
You're making a copy of the list?
Yeah, I want a copy of the list.
I'll cut and paste and email it to you, all right?
Okay. I'm still going to write it.
Pete Thamel, Dennis Dodd, Doug Gottlieb,
Oof.
Dan Wolken,
yeah.
Seth Davis, Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, Joel Klatt, and then Brett McMurphy and Dana O'Neill have asterisks because they semi, almost, sort of, kind of bent the knee this past season.
Okay.
McMurphy did?
I've got him in the – I've got
– receiving votes.
I can't remember what Brett McMurphy did. Maybe he didn't. Brett McMurphy took another shot or something.
I feel like he did.
He took a shot.
I feel like he did.
I'm sure one of our tweets.
Unlike us, Vol Twitter does not forget.
No.
Vol Twitter remember.
Panning it. Say they didn't like it, which I don't get, man. I thought it was a fantastic episode.
I thought it was a 10 episode,
man. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, we'll get into the specifics.
I don't like the heel turn.
Spoiler alerts. We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it here a little bit later. Utterly fantastic.
Utterly outstanding.
We'll take a quick break. Come back to wrap up hour number one of the show. It is The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
This
Jeff says, so God wanted Rick Barnes in Knoxville after he wanted him in Los Angeles, but after he wanted him in Knoxville. I don't know. I don't know where God
wanted. Huge raise and access to an executive jet.
Trey Wallace says he called UCLA to ask if Rick Barnes reached out first and was given the, quote, no comment. No comment. We have nothing to say to you, Trey Wallace.
No comment. Means no comment, sir.
Wow.
Wow.
Do you think this... I've been a bit surprised at some of the back...
Does it bother you?
At the end of the day, he's still here. And to me,
Telling you right now, I'm a little pissed. A little hot.
But if he wins, nobody's going to care. If he continues winning.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not just continue winning. You've got the private jet. You're the third highest paid coach in the nation now. Getting bounced before you make the Elite Eight is kind of off the table with me. That's an expectation. With greater compensation comes greater expectations.
I feel like Tennessee fans, when we lost to Purdue, I feel like, for the most part, the negative reaction was pretty restrained. And I feel like a lot of it was because the fans loved the team so much. They loved the players specifically.
And we had a lot of
Grant.
Goodwill built up towards Barnes.
Yeah. And I think they also loved, even though there were some questionable coaching decisions in that game, things that, you know what, it was a great ride, didn't end the way we wanted to, but the coach. And we picked it apart on, I don't have a short-term memory here. I remember. But, I mean, heck, this show, I've been accused of being very forgiving, a long rope, right?
You're called the shepherd.
That's fine, you know, whatever. But Sweet 16 or earlier next year, I think there would be a lot of fans that, I think people will be a little steamed.
He's going to catch some heat, man.
He's already catching it, which surprised me. Should we run the Rick Barnes?
Because
wasn't it 99%? When did we do it last? Was it like the day after he's sick? Last week? Last Monday? So it was like Monday or Tuesday last week?
We did some
expectations. We've not done an approval poll.
All right, we'll do another.
Put it in the field.
We'll put the poll. Hey, do you approve of the job Rick Barnes is doing as Tennessee's basketball coach? Strongly approve, disapprove, strongly disapprove. Anything between approval and disapproval?
Meh. I mean, I still strongly approve, but...
But you just said you were pissed off.
Yeah, I am. I'd be like, look, man.
How can you strongly approve and be pissed off? I feel... Then you don't strongly approve.
Well, put me down for somewhat approve then. Thing, but we're paying like 6-star steak. Sizzle.
I approve. Not strongly approve.
Yeah, I'm right there. I approve. I'm with Brandon.
Put me in...
Nature boy.
Rick. He's ignoring us. Pay attention. He's pointing to the microphone.
Whoa. He's
getting
there.
An excellent time. Okay. I approve.
Hold on. Do you approve of the job, Rick Barnes?
I think on the court, there's been a lot of positivity, to this, a little bit of an unwary feeling in the offseason. And this certainly does not, if it is true that he called UCLA, but I don't know. I think at the end of the long term. So, yes, but with a little bit of hesitation.
This afternoon, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Bill says the Vols beat on Sunday was an 11th round draft pick out of high school and was projected by baseball. How about that?
We lit him up like a Christmas. How many weeks? Everybody keeps saying Sunday.
Well, because it's usually
Sunday.
Yeah. Rounds? That should be interesting.
Hopefully we'll sweep them too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's probably unlikely because they're a pretty good program down there. Dave Van Horn's be going down there looking to win the series. We need the series.
I think they've done a good job of that of late, don't you?
Sure. and it ratchets up a little bit.
In the right direction. You got to keep building on what you've already accomplished.
Got to stay healthy.
Actually, watch Game of Thrones now. Was he trolling the whole time and I just missed the reveal?
No, I was not trolling.
You were trolling a little bit of the time.
A lot of people may have missed the reveal. It was...
that are beyond any of
us. Oh, yeah, I'm totally geeked out, yeah. It'll be a miracle if I don't get my ass kicked at some point.
Of the Drive coming up next, Rick Butler in with your top four at four. Your phone calls coming up as well. The Drive rages on after this.